Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the final program in our series on the Old and the New Covenants. There are three phrases that will help you remember this extremely important topic. The first phrase is, the Old Covenant is God with us, and the New Covenant is God in us. The second phrase is, the Old Covenant leads us to the New Covenant. And the third phrase is, do the right things for the right reasons. Now for the first phrase, the Old Covenant is God with us, and the New Covenant is God in us. So let me say that the lesson of the Old Covenant is that we can have every physical blessing imaginable, and we can even have God with us, but we'll still fail at what God wants us to do, and we will die. The lesson of the New Covenant is that we might not have any physical blessings, but because we have God in us, we will succeed at what God wants us to do, and we will live. Now God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would give their descendants, the children of Israel, a multitude of offspring that would include many kings, a land flowing with milk and honey, victory over their enemies, and a religious system that included God dwelling with them in the tabernacle and, of course, later in the temple. But what happened to Israel? In Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 10, it says, they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Then in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 32, it says, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the old covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them. So eventually God divorced Israel in 721 BC, then Judah in 583 BC, by sending them into captivity. And you can read about that in Jeremiah the 3rd chapter and Ezekiel the 23rd chapter. So Israel failed at what God wanted them to do. But that was for a very specific reason. And why was that? Well, Israel was chosen by God. That's right, they are God's chosen people. But they were chosen by God to teach the world not to make the same mistakes that they made. Let's read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. All of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. That meant that God was with them. And all were baptized into Moses. Remember that Moses is the mediator of the old covenant. So they're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they all did eat the same spiritual meat and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And you might not have ever noticed that before, but the scripture is very plain that Christ was the God of the Old Testament, the one with Israel. But of course, they did not recognize him. And still to this day, their eyes are blinded. But they are simply a type of the world, because most of the world is blinded to God's truth. It goes on to say, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Now these things were our examples, to the extent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. All these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Again, the whole reason why God chose Israel was to teach the world a lesson. That lesson was not to make the same mistakes. Now, how can we avoid making those mistakes? Well, as a contrast, let's read about what God says to the church. This is in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 18 through 24. God says of the church, you are not come to Mount Sinai that could be touched, that's where the Israelites came, but you are not come to Mount Sinai that could be touched, and to the voice of words, which voice Israel heard, and asked that the word not be spoken to them anymore. You are come to Mount Zion, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Moses was the mediator of the old covenant, but Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. And we, of course, are all baptized into Jesus, not into Moses, but into Jesus. And as a result of that, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 10, you, speaking of the church, are built into a spiritual house. Now in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, it says, don't you know that you are the temple of God? That's right, we are the temple of God. It's no longer a temple that Solomon built. It's not the tabernacle that Moses erected. We are the living temple of God. And don't you know that the Spirit of God dwells in you? With Israel, the Spirit of God dwelt with them. The Spirit of God was in the tabernacle. But now the Spirit of God is in us the living tabernacle, the living temple. It says that, going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, you are a holy priesthood formed to offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So our sacrifices are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are a chosen generation. That's right, we are chosen to teach the world a different lesson than what Israel was chosen to do. Israel was chosen to teach the world a lesson that they can even have God with them, but they would fail. And that's a lesson for all of the world. I'm not picking on Israel. They did not have God in them, so obviously they would fail at the ultimate purpose for which God chose them. But for the church will succeed at the ultimate purpose because God is in the church. So you are a chosen generation. We are chosen to teach the world a different lesson. The lesson is we may not have anything physical, but as long as we have the spiritual blessing of God in us, we will succeed at the ultimate purpose for which God chose us. Goes on to say, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people. We were not a nation, as the Israelites were, but now we are the people of God. Now we are a spiritual nation. And now for the second point. The old covenant leads us to the new covenant. How did that happen? Well, let's read in Galatians the 3rd chapter, verses 21 through 28. In Galatians the 3rd chapter, verses 21 through 28, it says, is the law, and I say to you that the law being spoken of here is the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone, which was the basis of the Old Covenant. And you can find that in Deuteronomy the 4th chapter, verse 13, also in chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, verses 9 through 11. So is this law, the Ten Commandments, written on two tables of stone against the promises of God? God forbid. The Scripture has concluded all under sin. Please catch that. The Scripture has concluded all under sin. Now what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. That's what it says in 1 John 3, verse 4. And then also, I had not known sin except by the law, for I did not know lust except the law had said, you shall not covet. So that's the law we're talking about, and that's in Romans 7 verse 7. Now also it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3 verse 23. And then the wages of sin is death. This is Romans 6:23. So we see that sin is the transgression of the law. What law? The law that said you shall not lust and you shall not covet. Now everybody has sinned, though. And because everyone has sinned, everyone has earned the death penalty. So therefore the Scripture has concluded all under sin, so that the promise, what is the promise? The promise is the forgiveness of sins, and this is the promise under the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins, the imputation of righteousness, the guarantee of eternal life, and the spiritual law written on two tables of our heart and mind. These are the promises. So that the promise, by the faith of Jesus Christ, this is how they come, by the faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to those that believe. But before faith came, which is the new covenant, we were kept under the law, the old covenant, shut out of the faith that would afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. In other words, the law as our schoolmaster condemned us to death. That brought us to Christ because Christ delivered us from death into life. So let me say that again. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. In other words, the law condemns us to death so that Christ can deliver us from death into life. And we have that by faith. So here we see again that the old covenant was meant to lead us to the new covenant. In Hebrews 9, verse 15, it says that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death he died for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first, which is the old covenant, they which are called might receive the promises of eternal inheritance, which are the promises of the new covenant. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, it says, "You are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. God has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So again, the old covenant condemned us to death so that the new covenant could deliver us from death. So the old covenant was meant to lead us to the new covenant. And then the third phrase I wanted you to remember is, do the right things for the right reasons. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, it says, "God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." And what are these things that pertain to life and godliness? These are the right things that we need to be aware of and doing. We need first to be accepting by faith that we have forgiveness of sins. Second, we need to be accepting by faith that we have righteousness imputed to us. It's not by our own works. Third, we need to be accepting by faith that we already have the guarantee of eternal life. So our forgiveness of sins is something that's happened in the past. Righteousness is something that we have presently. And eternal life is something that's promised ultimately for the future. All of these are the right things. Now, what is the right reason? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. What is God's divine nature? God is love. That's in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16. So the right reason to be operating under the new covenant is because we have love. Love first to God and then love to our neighbor. Brethren, it says, continuing 2 Peter chapter 1, "Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. To the contrary, you will have a wide open door into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ." That is a beautiful, beautiful promise. So the three phrases that will help you remember this extremely important topic on the Old and New Covenants are: the old covenant is God with us, and the new covenant is God in us. The old covenant leads us to the new covenant, and do the right things for the right reasons. Thanks for joining me for these series of programs. May God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.